had a feeling it was just a matter of time, and here it is.
It's just this huge relief to finally know that somewhere, something is being done.
It's almost like a branch hanging in a tree, and it's going to fall, but we don't know when. The high wind is coming, and now may be the time that the wind blows that broken branch down.
I'm Shay McAllister, and this is Bardstown. It's been a few years since we first released the Bardstown podcast. If you haven't already, go back and listen to Season 1, where we detail the ambush shooting of Bardstown police officer Jason Ellis, the gruesome torture and murder of Samantha Netherland, a Nelson County High School student, and her mother, special education teacher Kathy Netherland, the disappearance of mother of five, Crystal Rogers, and 1 year later, the murder of her father, Tommy Ballard.
I never dreamed in 100 years something like this would ever happen to us. So, yeah, it makes you have a different perspective on life, that's for sure. Wheels don't fail me now. Let's get
out of here somehow. The last time we talked, all five cases were unsolved, but a lot has changed. Multiple people are now in custody, facing charges, including murder. New details from police are filling in gaps with important plot lines. Some people have suspected for years. Others caught everyone by surprise. But before we get to that, a reminder of who I am. I'm an investigative journalist for WHAS 11, a TV station in Louisville, Kentucky. I started reporting on the Bardstown cases in 2015. Crystal Rogers was reported missing the very same month I moved to Kentucky, just starting my career in journalism. Crystal was 35 years old and had five young children when she was last seen alive on 4th of July weekend. Her boyfriend, Brooks Houck, says they spent the evening at his family farm and then went home and went to bed. In a police interview, he claimed she was gone when he woke up the next morning, but he didn't call her or police. Crystal wasn't reported missing until her family got suspicious when they hadn't heard from her. Her mom, Sherry Ballard, ran into Brooks at a gas station. Here's how he described that interaction with police.
And then Sherry came up there to my window. And asked me if I had seen Crystal. And when you told her, what, I haven't seen her, don't know where she is, and she just said okay and asked me.
No, she thought that the wisest thing for us to do was she said she was going to go to the police station.
Sherry did go to the police and report her daughter missing. Brooks didn't go with her. 2 days later, the family found her car on the side of the Bluegrass Parkway with a flat tire. Her keys, phone, and purse were left inside. But I wouldn't meet the family for several months. On Thanksgiving Day, when I spent the day with her parents, reporting on their first holiday without their daughter.
They know who they think did it. And these people are going on with their everyday life. And they've got their family enjoying Thanksgiving today. And we don't have Crystal.
Their passion to find their daughter and description of the mysterious circumstances around her disappearance drew me in. I wanted to know more about the case and the other odd, unsolved cases in the small community of Bardstown, deemed America's most beautiful small town. Since then, I've built relationships with sources close to the investigation, and I've kept in touch with the families. I, like most people in this community, have been waiting for the day the puzzle pieces started falling into place. Well, now, that day seems closer than ever before. The best place to begin this latest chapter of developments is the beginning of 2023. When we'd got word of a new face joining the web of agencies and investigators working in Bardstown, Shane Young, the lead prosecutor in Harding County, a neighboring county to Nelson County, was appointed to bring charges in three of the Bardstown cases, Crystal Rogers, Tommy Ballard, and Jason Ellis. Notably, the Netherlands case was not included there. When I asked the Attorney General's office about that distinction, they said it was intentional. They were not asked to intervene on the Netherlands case. By the time I got word of the new prosecutor, he'd already been working on the investigation for some time. Sherry Ballard, Crystal's mom, told me she had met with him multiple times to discuss her daughter and her husband's case. She said she was confident he was taking it seriously, and she was expecting an arrest.
I think things are coming together, and I think I'm headed in the right direction. After 8-7 years, I'm finally headed in the right direction. I have a good team, you know, I'm in a good place, and now to move forward.
That was January, and as the months rolled on, the case grew quiet. Very quiet. For the first time in the 3 years since the FBI took the lead on Crystal's case, there was no visible signs of investigation. No search warrant served in the eye of the public. No digs alerted by the FBI. No evidence collected and sent to the forensic lab. At least, none that we knew about. Until 9 months later, when September brought big news.
Breaking news and a huge development in the story so many of us have been connected to for so many years. We have learned police have made an arrest connected to the Crystal Rogers case, the disappearance of Crystal Rogers.
As it turns out, the new prosecutor, Shane Young, was changing things up on us, no longer allowing the investigation to unfold in front of the public eye. But he was working, and a man named Joseph Lawson was the very first sign of that.
Attorney Kevin Coleman is confirming that his client, Joseph Lawson, has been indicted in connection to the disappearance of Crystal Rogers. According to court documents, Lawson is charged with conspiracy to murder and complicity tampering with physical evidence.
The news broke late, after 10 at night. At that point, the courts were closed, and we'd have to wait until the next morning to get more information. But that morning, news of the arrest spread fast, and for many in the small community of Bardstown, it was considered good news.
I was at work when I first heard, and I literally jumped out of my chair. And, you know, a lot of expletives. It's unreal. It's surreal.
Someone texted my daughter with that information, and I think we were both shocked and relieved if, in fact, they have the right person.
Next to the shock and the relief was the confusion. Who was Joseph Lawson? And how was he connected to Crystal? The only connection we could find at the time was with his father, Steve Lawson, a former employee of Brooks Houck. During a 2015 police interview, Nelson County Sheriff's Deputy John Snow asks Brooks about a late-night conversation on the night Crystal disappeared. The detective explains he saw the 13-second phone call in Brooks' phone records, and he asked Brooks, who would have been calling him at midnight?
There appears to be a phone call around midnight.
All right.
On Friday night, Saturday morning.
All right.
I'm talking about on your way home, basically.
All right.
Do you know who that person was that called me around midnight? Do you remember taking a phone call?
Can you just call the number back? I don't.
I mean, I could. I could.
What's
I could
the phone number?
Phone,
yeah, look at my phone, but I don't remember.
You don't
that.
Remember getting a phone call on the way home? Mm-hmm. Would it be unusual for you to get a phone call at midnight? I mean, it is for me, and I work for the sheriff's office. I get calls quite regularly. It was a pretty short phone conversation. Is the only reason I asked.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of unusual to get a 13-second phone conversation at midnight. You know, it is for me. It may not be for you.
All right.
Brooks tells the detective he doesn't remember the conversation, and they move on. And then Detective Snow brings it up again.
I want to get your phone and look that phone number.
All right.
So just,
you just want to put the number in, right?
Or check contacts or however you do it to see who it is. Yeah.
Oh, Steve Lawson.
Okay. Who is Steve Lawson?
He's somebody who works for me.
Brooks finds the number in his phone and clicks on the speaker, ready to share the conversation with the police detective. It rings just a few times. And then Steve Lawson picks up the phone.
Hey, Steve. Hey, I can't hear you real good. I'm gonna ask you to speak up a little bit, okay?
Okay, sir.
Hey, I was wanting to know, hey, I've got some things going on next week. I'm gonna need your help with me. Are you already booked up or can you help me? All right. Well, I can write them all down and get them there for you. But I was actually talking about doing some more work with your little skid steer and so forth. Mine's still broke down.
It would be tomorrow. I'm coming. I know you aren't for all the time hearing me because where I'm located at.
All right.
So just get in touch with me tomorrow and we'll see what we can do.
Brooks begins the conversation asking Steve Lawson about work. He mentions a certain piece of machinery and asks if Steve can help with an upcoming job. Steve agrees and then shifts the conversation. He tells Brooks he's sorry for what he's going through, and he has him in his prayers.
I just want to tell you I'm sorry about everything that's going on in your life, brother, and I got you in my prayers.
I say it is a very difficult and trying time, but I appreciate you you saying that. But, hey, I need your help while I got you on the phone here. Do you remember the other night you called me really, really late? And I forgot what you asked me. Can you, I guess we wasn't on the phone. I might have been tired. I know it was pretty late at night. Can you remember what you asked me or what you were after? I can't remember.
Yes, sir, I can. I called to ask you for them numbers for a house.
Oh, for a rental house.
Yes, sir.
And what did I forgot. What did I tell you?
You told me that you would call, what's her name, Katie or whatever she handles all that.
Crystal,
okay, I apologize.
Yeah.
And she said she handles all that and that you would get back with me on it.
All right, thank you so much, Neil.
Hey, if there is anything I can do, you give me a call.
Thank you. You have a good night, Neil.
Yes, sir. God bless you.
Thank you.
Brooks ends the phone call, and Detective Snow looks perplexed. He's just realized something odd about that conversation. Steve Lawson told Brooks he had called him with a question for Crystal, and Brooks told Steve he'd have to call Crystal and then get back to him. But Detective Snow wonders if Crystal was in the car with him, as he stated earlier in the interview, why would Brooks need to call her?
Okay. So that begs a question in my mind.
All right.
If she's in the truck next to you when he called, why would you need to call her about getting numbers for rental?
Because being that late at night, we're headed to the house, you know, I just wouldn't, she normally's not going to deal with stuff that late. And I mean, I probably didn't even look at the phone to see who it was calling me. I'm sure I just answered it, you know.
But he said you told him that you'd need to call her.
All right.
Why would you need to call her? I mean, that's an odd phrase for someone who's sitting next to you in the truck. Do you understand? You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, I see exactly what you're saying. But I mean, if that right there is what I told him, we wasn't on the phone that long. But normally I would just, she handles all that, and that's what I would do. She's not going to want to mess with that kind of stuff that late. I'm sure I probably tried to answer the phone really quickly. So that it wouldn't, a lot of times after I get moving, Eli goes to sleep, you know. Sometimes he goes to sleep in the truck, sometimes he doesn't. So if you want to call him, and you got his number and everything, if you want to call him, you know, you can call him.
What do you think happened?
I'm shocked. I do not know.
There's no mention of Joseph Lawson, but there is evidence his dad knew Brooks, and they spoke on the night that Crystal disappeared. We asked Crystal's family if they recognized the name. They only knew of the same connection between his dad and Brooks Houck. So what do we know about Joseph Lawson? On his first court date, he appeared in front of a judge over video from a hospital bed. The 32-year-old from Nelson County is a paraplegic. Those who know him tell us he was constrained to a wheelchair after an accident several years ago. But that injury happened years after Crystal disappeared. His possible involvement in the case was spelled out in an indictment presented to a grand jury. According to the indictment, Lawson's charges stem from an incident on the weekend Crystal Rogers was reported missing, just days before her keys, phone, and purse were found inside her car on the side of the Bluegrass Parkway. Lawson's accused of destroying, mutilating, concealing, or removing physical evidence and aiding in the commission of planning a crime that intentionally caused the death of another person. That person is Crystal Rogers. But her family isn't the only one paying attention. Another family, waiting for answers in a different Bardstown murder mystery, was watching the developments closely, hoping answers in Crystal's case meant answers in their case, too.
It's been a while since you guys have sat down to do an interview. Why did today feel like an okay time?
It's time. Like, we have kind of taken a hiatus to regroup from the ones that we've done before. And because of the light of all the information that's come out, I definitely think it's time to talk about him more and almost reintroduce him back to the public because it has been 10 years.
That's Lacey Ellis Young, the youngest sister of Jason Ellis.
And so it's been 10 years with no answers. It's been 10 years with no arrest made for his case either. So I definitely think it's time to start speaking up and almost demanding the answers that I think we deserve.
She sits next to her mother and older sister inside a cozy living room in Cincinnati. Jason was born and raised in Cincinnati, and much of his family still lives there today.
We live with it every day. I always use the line, it's not a story, it's our lives. And it's reminders of him that we see every day, reminders in our own children that we see a little bit of Jason in every single day. So it's an everyday thing that we live through. It's easier to talk about it over time, but when things happen, it's like that Band-Aid gets ripped off and then that wound is completely fresh like it happened yesterday.
And I think too, because we live in the same town that we all grew up in still, like we haven't strayed from that, even though he lived in Bardstown, most of his life was here in Cincinnati.
That's his other sister, Kelly Eastman.
And so there's,
you see people
who knew him, that grew up together. We see places where he played baseball, restaurants that he liked. So for us, it's just a daily reminder of what isn't around us. And then too, all of the life changes that have happened with our own families, kids graduating, kids going, you know, it's just, we still live through every life moment. So every day is a day to remember him.
I keep in touch with Jason's family, much like I keep in touch with Crystal's family. When they hear news of a development in Bardstown, they usually call me and ask if I've heard anything about Jason's case. They call me because they say communications with investigators hasn't been consistent, not since the very beginning, 10 years ago, when Jason was killed.
That's probably been the most disappointing part for us, because we don't hear anything. Outside maybe the first couple of months after Jason was killed, it's kind of been radio silence. And we know that it's overwhelming and that they have a lot of information, but even just touching base with us once in a while, just to reassure us that they're working it, that he's not forgotten, would go a long way. So for us, it's been hard just because we haven't heard from KSP. Mm-hmm. We haven't heard from the FBI.
Well, we're in a different situation. You know, mm-hmm. They're in Kentucky. We're in Ohio.
Right.
So we're not easy access like maybe Crystal's mom.
That's Pam Deerwester, Jason's mom. She doesn't talk as much as her daughters, but she nods along with their frustrations.
So, but
the phone works.
Yeah.
Right.
But I will say, though, whenever we do see the investigators, they're very, you know, very loving and reassuring to us. So
you're not getting the communication as often as you like. But you feel good about it when you do hear.
Yeah, because I feel like in some ways no communication means they're just working hard. Mm-hmm. And no communication can mean that maybe they have something and they can't share it. And so I would rather them be focused on solving these cases than necessarily worrying about communicating what they know with us, because we know that there's things that people know that they can't share. Mm-hmm. And we're not looking for that either. I think for us, we're just looking for reassurance that he's not forgotten.
It's hard not to be caught off guard, though. You know, you scroll Facebook or pop on the news and then it's all these developments and you're like, oh, well, I just got this news article from a friend and an investigator can't even call me and tell me that this is kind of coming down the pipeline. So it's hard not to get caught off guard. And I think for me, that's the most disappointing part, because you get in a good place and then I scroll Facebook and then I see all this information, or that Jason's picture is on the FBI or, you know, homepage and stuff like that. So it's hard not to get caught off guard and then be disappointed, because it's like we had no clue. And then you get messages and, hey, did you see this? I saw it like you did. Like, I don't hear anything. So
I feel a little difficult.
Yeah.
It's a good thing and it's a bad thing. I mean, it's a good thing knowing that they are still working Jason's case and mm-hmm. we're keeping Jason alive. But it's a bad thing because, you know, it's a loved one to us that will never come back. You know, just sitting here, it just brings up a lot, mm-hmm. a lot of emotions.
Do you feel like an arrest in Crystal's case is bringing you closer to some movement in Jason's?
I think it's hard for us because there hasn't been a lot of new information on Jason's case from the very beginning. We've kind of been at a standstill from the beginning. And so for us, there's a possibility that the cases are connected. And so for us, that makes us very hopeful that if they can make traction on one, that it'll bring answers for others. But then also it could not be connected. And then where does that leave us when there's not been any new information on Jason's case? So for us, like Lacey said, makes us extremely hopeful that answers in one case will bring answers in another case. But then too, it's hard to open yourself up again to know we might be right back where we started.
It definitely takes an emotional toll, because you're so happy because Sherry deserves answers, mm-hmm. but we also deserve answers, and so do the Netherlands. So it definitely makes you happy for that person, because it's like, man, yes, like finally something, like we're getting somewhere. But it's hard not to be disappointed, because if they aren't connected, then we're still at square one where she's kind of moved ahead.
And then also too, to know that new developments can happen mm-hmm. 8 years down yes. the road, like in Crystal's case, that they are able to find connections and answers, then what's that to say that they can't find information from 10 years ago?
Still, they don't shy away from possible connections. Both sisters believe their brother's murder may have ties to the people responsible for the disappearance of Crystal and the murder of her father, Tommy Ballard.
There seem to be similar people connected to each case in some mm-hmm. ways. So without saying too much.
I think at the end of the day, I think there might be a connection between all of them when push comes to shove. It may not be a large connection, but you know how small Bardstown is, right? The pools run tight and the pools run small. So there's probably circles that everybody ran in that I think could connect them. It's just hard not to find similarities among all the cases to not think in that direction.
And without saying any of those names, you think some of these names might be involved?
Oh, yeah.
The names people have heard in another case could be involved in Jason's?
I think absolutely.
It's hard not to.
Yeah.
So when the FBI took over Crystal's case mm-hmm. in 2020, they made it clear they were taking over Crystal's case, but they were going to be working leads and tips on the other cases. How did you guys feel about that news?
We were excited for Sherry that something more substantial was happening. It's a hard situation because we were able to say goodbye to Jason. She was not able to say goodbye to Crystal. There's definitely different answers that need to be answered there. And I hope that it brings them that closure. So for them to have a little bit more firepower behind them, that was exciting. And we knew that any light being brought onto one case would shine light on others. How could you not? So yes, we know the FBI isn't up fully on Jason's case, but I think there's more going on behind the scenes than we even know.
So you were able to really take it and say, this is a win. It yes. wasn't disappointment.
Oh, no, it's a win for everybody.
No, not at all. Not at all.
It was all good.
Yeah.
And all, this is moving us forward, too.
Yeah.
They believe answers in one case could lead to answers in another. They're hopeful investigators are working Jason's case every day. Still, there is some frustration and doubt.
What police officer's case is still open in the United States? He's probably about maybe top 10. Like, they usually get solved pretty quick, which leads us to believe that it makes me think that they don't want it solved. They're burying stuff under the rug. And there's too much that's going to come out.
Yeah.
And that's what makes me nervous.
Is it important to you that it's solved, that those things are revealed? Is that an important part of the healing process?
Absolutely. I think it's the only way we can actually close that chapter. I think until, I always say it's an open book, and until you actually can put a stamp on that and say, look, Jason, we got justice for you. It's been served. Everybody who was a part of anything is done. We can't close that book. We can't ever truly move on and fully heal and deal with all aspects of grief until we can close this chapter.
Well, and even Barkstown needs it.
Yeah.
You know, that's what they're known for, is these five unsolved murders. Mm-hmm. It's a wonderful town.
Which is sad because there are so many good people in that town that the reputation doesn't fit.
So they need to be healed too.
Yeah.
You know, that town needs to be healed.
Mm-hmm. Do you guys ever go to Bardstown for any reason?
We were just there not too long ago.
Yeah? What's it like when you visit?
Loving. They're very open arms with us and very loving with us.
I definitely think there's also an eerie feel.
It is. Yeah. That's what I was going to say.
Because there's a lot of new people we don't
know.
It's
weird. Yeah. And you feel
it's
it.
Just, it's odd. You feel the
tension.
Dark cloud.
Yeah.
And the tension. You definitely, you come in and it's just weird. Like, it's just awkward. It's awkward being there because of who we are. And because we don't live there. And I think that's maybe why we might feel it a bit more, because we come in as essentially outsiders. And then you just feel, as quickly as I'm there, unfortunately, is as quickly as I want to exit.
There are a good core group of families and law enforcement that we know have our back and know that they will continue to fight for Jason. So that's reassuring. But yeah, there is definitely, you can just feel something in the air that doesn't seem right.
Something doesn't seem right. Their final thoughts before we said our goodbyes that day. And their sentiments match a common theme in Bardstown, not only with visitors, but also with locals. Every time I visit Bardstown, someone tells me they're ready for the cozy town to return to its prior reputation.
I want to see Bardstown back to kind of being what I knew it growing up, which was a safe and really pretty place to grow up.
This is just the beginning. The information is going to trickle out, and we're going to try to put it together like a big puzzle.
And with another arrest on the horizon, they could be one step closer to piecing together that big picture. Next time, on Bardstown.
Now, another major new development in the Crystal Rogers murder investigation. Police arresting Steve Lawson today. The Nelson County grand jury indicting Lawson on two charges, conspiracy to commit murder and tampering with physical evidence.
Steve Lawson is taken into custody and his attorney is talking.
From your understanding, was Stephen Lawson involved in the death of Crystal Rogers?
No, he was not.
What do you think his connection is to this case?
He was an employee, part-time employee of Halk, and he had an association with Halk. Mr. Halk has had conversations with him about Crystal. And that's the extent of my client's involvement.
And what about Steve's son?
Steve's son, I'm not sure about the evidence that they have against Steve's son. I know that he's extremely involved.
Bardstown is a WHAS 11 news production, written by me, Shay McAllister, and edited by WHAS 11 chief photojournalist Philip Merle. Visit our website, whas11.com, where you'll find more background on the cases we cover and exclusive visual elements that support what we discuss. Let's get out.